Luke chapter 18, verse 8. And we're going to read. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's the main question I want to just really make you think about. When the Son of Man cometh, when he comes, and we know he's coming, shall he find faith on the earth? Because, you know, faith is what's going to take you to heaven. Faith is what's going to keep you in the Word. Faith is going to keep you coming to church. Faith is going to keep you faithful. Faith is what keeps us faithful to God. Faith is what keeps us faithful to the things of God. Faith is what keeps us motivated in going to the direction of God. Faith is so important. And Jesus is asking the question, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? It's been 2,000 years since he preached this message. 2,000 years since this preacher, Jesus was a preacher and a teacher and a prophet. He stood in all the gifts and all the offices of the ministry. And he made this statement, when I return, and he knows he's coming, will I find faith on the earth? And he's talking about the God kind of faith. He's not just talking about, well, faith that there's this going to happen or faith that that's going to happen because it always has happened before. I'm talking about supernatural experience that you have with God within your spirit man called faith. Will you have it? I'm going to have faith. And that's what the believer is supposed to do because we're called believers, right? Believers believe. Believers are people full of faith in God, faith in his word, faith in what he says. Faith is so important to God. Jesus is asking a serious question. When I come, will I find faith on the earth? I happen to be on this earth. I happen to be made of earth. Will I find faith? And you know my answer to him is, yes, Lord, right here. Right here, right here. You'll find it right here. You're going to find it right here. Everybody should raise their hand and say, yes, Lord, you're going to find it right here. Let's say it. We're going to find it right here, Jesus. You're going to find faith. When you come back, if you came back today, here's some faith right here. Yes. You're going to find faith in me. Faith isn't in your head. Faith isn't in your toenail. Faith isn't in your mouth. Faith is in your heart. Now, your mouth has a part to play in building your faith, but faith is something that lives in you. It's in your spirit, man. It's your personal faith level. You can grow your faith. It's your garden. You can take advantage today and grow this faith of yours. It's very personalized. You know, some gardens of faith have weeds in them and things grown over and stunts the growth of the garden. But God says, I want you to have he wants you to have a very healthy heart of faith, full of faith. Developed faith. He wants your heart full of faith. Let's look at some more things about faith this morning because I said, Lord, I told the Lord, I said, I've ministered on faith all the time. I'm always talking about faith. And it's something you'll never, ever exhaust. You cannot exhaust a subject faith because you can talk about faith every single day from here on out forever. And you can't exhaust the subject. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. See, I take my faith walk very, very seriously. I take it very seriously because there's so many scriptures that I know firsthand speak to me concerning faith. And I take it personal. Yeah, I put it on my own level. When I read the word, it's God's. This is a love letter to you personally. God's word is a love letter to you. And look what he says here, verse 12, take heed, brethren. He's not talking to the sinner, he's talking to Christians. Take heed, brothers and sisters, Christians of the Lord, believers in God, believers in Jesus. Take heed, brethren. Let's look at it. Verse 12, take heed. What he's saying is pay attention. Don't let this slip. Pay attention, be serious about this. Take heed. If there was a storm coming and you turned on the Doppler Channel 18 Doppler system and you listen to the storm tracker, you would take heed to that, wouldn't you? You take heed to that. You'd say, oh, there's a storm coming. Take heed. And you'd take preparations. You'd either get your snow boots on or get your plows out or get your shovels out. You'd take heed to it. What he's saying here is his take heed. And what you're taking heed is even bigger than any storm that'll come your way. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And you could say, read that. I've read over that, glossed over that, and thought, that didn't happen to me. I'm going to heaven. But that the littlest thing come along, and you see where your faith is. Just the littlest little situation come along. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Because we all have a measure of faith. We have a measure. Every single one of us have got faith. Everybody's got faith. But some have more faith than others have. And why is that? God, why is it some people have such a great amount of faith that they just specially blessed or something? Are they just special people to you and you just give them more faith than other people? Or is it because they're just special? Is that why they got more faith than me? Is that why they're able to do the things they're doing? Because I don't have enough faith to do them yet? There's a lot of things that will hinder your faith. But the Word of God is clear. It says, and calls it an evil heart of unbelief. Evil heart of unbelief. And so if you want to look at it another way, just flip it over. That's the opposite. That's the negative part. But look at the positive side. If you have faith, it must be a good heart of faith. Good heart. So we've got two hearts. We've got an evil heart, and we've got a good heart. So this word here, let's take heed to it, because he said take heed, didn't he? Take heed. Take heed, brethren, Christians, take heed. Lest there be in any of you. Now this is talking about in your spirit, in inside you. Be aware that you could have an evil heart of unbelief. It's very possible. And the scripture then goes on, in departing from the living God. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, when would you ever depart from the living God? I think a lot of times it can happen very slowly. I think it can happen a little piece at a time. You know, Jesus said that he warned them about the little foxes. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that come along in your life and you let nibble away at your faith. It's the little things that you can allow to eat away and erode the good things that God has put in you. It's the little things that spoil the vine. Little things. So we've got to take heed to our faith. Yes, he says take heed. A storm can come. Something can come along in your life. Something big can happen. A tragedy in the earth. Really, what's going on in the inside of people? The fear. The fear. And see, God says it's an evil heart of unbelief if you get off the Word. This is where we stay. We stay on the Word. We stay on the Word. We stay on the Word. Now, there's something every one of us is afraid of. I don't care who you are. There's something everybody is afraid of. And the enemy knows exactly how to set us up and put us in that situation of fear. He knows our weaknesses. Problem is, we don't know our weaknesses until we're tested. A lot of times, we're not really tested to know where we are, our level of faith is. And if you do go through a situation where you know you've got an evil heart of unbelief and you're in departing from the living God, and you've run to the government, or you've run to this, or you've run to that, and you didn't run to God, you run somewhere else, well, you departed from the living God when you do that. When you go running off for help somewhere else outside of God's kingdom, you're departing from the living God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I just never, ever want to do that. God, I know I'm not where I should be. God, I know I'm not perfect, and I'm not ever going to be perfect. Let's get the perfect problem. Let's get this thing of being perfect out of the way. Because being perfect is never going to be the issue. You're never, ever going to be good enough for heaven if you try to do it on your own. You're never going to measure up to the mark of heaven's entry gate. You're never going to do it on your own. But let me tell you something. You can develop your faith. And it's a choice you make inside your spirit. Your heart has to decide, I'm going to walk this out by faith. I'm going to walk by faith. Now, why is it so important to walk by faith? Because God says without faith, it's impossible to please him. You can't even please him if you're not in faith. Because he calls it an evil heart of unbelief if you're not in faith. You can't be in faith and in unbelief at the same time. That's a schizophrenic Christian. That's somebody that's, oh, I got all kinds of faith, but yet they're acting in total unbelief, total fear, that's a schizophrenic. You're not stable. And God says, I want stable people. When I come back to this earth, am I going to find people that know what faith is and who are operating in faith 100%? Or are they going to be jumping ship half the time? You know, I believe this with all my heart. It's in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and you'll hear me share this all the time. Romans, let's look at it. Verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, is God going to lead you into a dangerous situation? Is God going to lead you out there and just drop you off the face of the earth for you to die? Is God going to do anything to hurt you? Is God the kind of God that would lead you into hurtful situations? No. Is God going to lead you to marry the wrong person that would beat you and mistreat you? No. Would God lead you to take risk with money that you shouldn't take? Would he lead you to do that if he knows it's going to cause you problems? No. There's a lot of things that we do that God did not lead us to do. Because this is the bottom line. God is good 100% of the time. And God knows everything. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. And God will never lead you into anything bad. Now, we know who does all that. A lot of times just us will do it. But the scripture says, they that are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let me say it the way I know it means it, the way he's speaking here. They that are led by the Spirit of God. In other words, the ones who know how to hear from God. The ones who know what God would say to them in a situation. The ones who God has clear avenue to reach. The ones that can say yes to God's word. And can say, yes, Lord, yes, sir. The ones that will obey the word that God gives them in a direction in life. The ones who God can get over to them the right decisions to make. The ones that God can get over to who will really say, yes, Lord. The ones who obey his voice. They're the ones that are the sons of God. That's the ones. That kind of makes everybody on a different plane, doesn't it? That puts even Christians on a different plane. If you really look at it, what he's saying, so the most important thing in my life is how to be led by the Spirit of God, because he's the Spirit of truth. He is truth. He'll never tell you wrong. Never will he ever lead you in bad places. So it's up to me to figure out how do I hear from God? What's God telling me to do? In a situation. Be led by God. I tell everybody, be led by God. Those are the sons of God are led by God. And if you're led by God and he gets you out there and you know God told you to do it and you get out there in a situation, then you can just rest in him, work it out. You can look up and say, Lord, you brought me here. See, I know he brought me here. And I'm resting in it. I don't care what it looks like. I'm resting in it. Doesn't matter what it looks like. If he brought me here, it's like it's now his problem, not my problem. He's got the answer to every problem in your life. But Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith? Will I find people operating in faith? Will I find people who know how to be led by my Spirit through the Word? I heard a word this morning. I heard a scripture. And it was like I had a choice to either decide to listen to what God said. You know what I said to God in my spirit? I said, you never lie to me. And you never will. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to believe you. I'm just going to believe you. No matter what it looks like, I'm going to believe you. Because your word is the ultimate truth. You are the ultimate truth. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. I trust in you with my whole heart. I trust in God more than anybody or anything else. That's faith. That's when you have faith in God. Trusting God. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Look at this verse in this light now we're sharing. Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. And what he's really saying here is no one can listen to two masters. No one can obey two masters. Because one master will say, do this, and the other master will say, do this, and you can't do both things at the same time. So you're going to have to decide, who do you listen to? Who do you obey? Who do you follow? Because you're going to be told to do this, and then another voice is going to come along and say, no, do this, and who are you going to obey? Who are you going to be led by? There's two voices, two masters. Believe God, believe the circumstance. Believe God, believe what I'm looking at with my physical eyes. See, your five physical senses will scream at you and yell at you. If you develop a relationship with somebody and you really get to know how real and good and true they are, it's not that hard to believe when they tell you something. It gets really hard to believe a total stranger because a stranger, you know, well, maybe they'll lie to me. I don't really know you. But I know I'm looking at my physical senses here. I know I can trust that. Then you won't trust the voice of the one that you don't know very well. But if you know God really well and you know that he never lies and he never fails and you know that he can never be anything but good, 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 and you know that he loves you with all of his heart, when you know that how much he died for you and how he suffered for you, when you know that a man that would give up his life would do anything for you, when you have a revelation of him, it's easier to trust him when he tells you something. You don't get into fear. You don't get into panic. You don't get into worry. You don't wring your hands. You don't cry. You don't bawl. You don't squall near as much as you used to. I don't anymore hardly ever cry. I cry for people. I find myself crying for people. I find myself brokenhearted for people more these days than myself. Don't cry for myself very much anymore. I've already done most all that crying. Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to give you some hope here. Philippians chapter 1. Here's some good news. Verse 6. Being confident. There's some faith right there, isn't there? Being confident is a very good word. It means you got something, faith going on here. You got faith. And he says, being confident of this very thing. That he which hath begun a good work in you. There's that word in you again. In you. See, this is where faith is. It's in you. Not in your head. In you, in your spirit. The real you. In you is talking about you, your spirit man. He says, confident of this very thing. That he which hath begun a good work in you. There is nothing more wonderful than being full of faith. There's nothing better than being full of faith. If he calls departing from the living God an evil heart of unbelief, then it's a good thing that he's begun if he's beginning faith in you. So he says, he that began a good work, which is a work of faith, a heart that's full of faith in God, that good work, he says, he will perform it. Until the day of the Lord Jesus of Christ. He will perform it. Now here's some good news. Here's some awesome news. You think you are the one totally involved here in getting faith in you, building your faith, growing your faith? No, he is the author and the finisher of your faith. The Word of God says he is the author and the finisher of your faith. Let's look at that verse. It's 12, Hebrews chapter 12. Just remember, Jesus is on board through the person of the Holy Spirit in you. He began a good work in you. If you're born again and you belong to Him and you've got this evil heart of unbelief working on you and trying to pull you away from believing God, just say, no, no, no. Devil, get out of here. Unbelief, you get out of here. I'm going to make a choice to believe God. I'm going to kick you out. I'm not going to serve that master. I'm not going to serve that voice. I'm not going to listen to that voice. That voice is not going to lead me in. From this day forward, you make a decree in your heart and you say, that voice is no longer going to lead me down the wrong path. That voice is no longer going to cause me to have trouble. That voice isn't going to take me down to a place where I'm going to be destroyed. That voice, I'm not going to serve that master anymore. I'm going to serve the living God and I'm going to learn to live for Him. He's going to be my master. I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God. I'm going to let the voice of God lead me. I'm going to be led by Him 100% of the time, and He's going to help me do it. He began this work in me. He's going to perform it. I just make myself available. Here it is. Here I am. The mess I am. Here I am. See, I'm just telling you what I did. And I do this all the time. Everybody at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. When you're in a crisis, when you're in a problem, when you got a situation, when any situation, I don't care what the situation is, I look to Jesus. And where does Jesus live? Does He live in my head? He lives in my spirit. I look to Him. He's the author and the finisher of my faith, the faith that's in me. He said, I started the work in you and I will perform it. They that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. I'm a son of God. See, there's no gender in the spirit realm. There's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek. You are one in Christ Jesus. You look to your heart in a situation. Look to the Word. Now, this is where it gets real dicey and real tricky when you have not spent time with Jesus. It's hard to look at Him. It's hard to trust Him because you don't know Him. You got to spend some time with Him. I spend a lot of time with the Lord. I've been spending time with Him a long time. And it's not that hard to get a hold of Him for me. But the enemy has put walls and blockades and barricades and roadblocks and anything he can put in your way between you getting to Jesus. He wants you to look at everything else but Jesus. The devil don't want you to look at Jesus. That's the last thing he wants you to look at. He don't want you looking to Jesus. He don't want you reading that Bible. He doesn't want you to listen to the Word of God. He don't want you even coming to church. He'll tell you everything. He'll tell you the pastor don't like you. I've heard all that stuff. I have to remind myself that the devil still does that stuff. See, Jesus died for you. And He called me to die for you. You know, I'm an under-shepherd. And let me tell you something. It's a big deal to be a pastor. It's a big deal. I have to die too, to me. I have to die to what I want to do. My wants, my wishes, my desires had to die. I have a lot of other things I could be doing in this life, but this is what He wants me to do. I'm looking to Him. And He's my life now. He's my whole life. He's always been my life. But, you know, I was pursuing other things. Pursuing an education. Pursuing a career. You know, we can do a lot of things, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. But if the Lord ever gets a hold of you and says, I want you to do this in the ministry, I want to pull you into the ministry, I've been preparing you a long time, go into the ministry. And if He tells you to do that, you let nothing stand in your way. You don't let anybody or anything stop you from being obedient to God. You can't serve two masters. You've got to obey God. So I had to die. I had to die to my wants, my wishes, my desires. I had to die. Ministry is a big deal. Ministry is a big deal to God. Big deal. It could mean the matter of life and death for a person. Look at Romans chapter 4. You're a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in a body. You can never get away from that because that's who you are. That's just who you are. And your brain is a real big part of you. Chapter 4 of Romans, and look at verse 19. And being not weak in faith, being not weak in faith, Now, how do you be not weak in faith? You either be strong in faith or weak in faith. So he says he wasn't weak in faith because he did something, talking about Abraham. It's really all about what are you considering. It's really about what and how you consider a situation. It's all about being led by the Spirit of God. He considered not his own body, now dead, when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I don't think there's any better description of faith than that right there. I don't think there's any better description of faith than that statement right there. There's an example of faith in a person's life. Now, that's a high mark to walk in where you get to the place where you don't consider your body because you realize your body's not really you. Your spirit is the real you. You possess this body. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he was not weak in faith. And that's what made him not weak in faith. He didn't consider anything but the promise of God. He considered what God said. He esteemed what God said so greatly and so highly. He considered God's word to be the greatest authority and the greatest finality. You remember when Abraham was taking Isaac up to be sacrificed, and Isaac said, Father, where's the sacrifice? And he looked at his son, and he said, the Lord will provide. And he gets up there and lays his son on the altar. Amazing thing is that Isaac just went plumb along with it, you know, just okay. He had faith in his father's words too, see. But God was so positive that what he had told him, he was able to perform. Positive about it. Not an ounce of doubt. And this man who was under the old covenant, and what really was the person that God cut the old covenant with, could believe to that level. There is no reason we cannot attain to that level of faith. There's no excuse to not walk in faith in God. Just, I believe that if he could do that, we have a better covenant established on better promises, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Abraham didn't have the Holy Spirit living in him. We have the Comforter on board. Let me show you something else. Matthew 9:16. No man putteth a piece of new cloth upon an old garment. For that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. You've been used to doing things a certain way your whole life. You've been used to listening to the voice of reason in your head. You've been used to living by your physical senses and making decisions and judgments by what you feel, what you see, what you hear. Your physical senses are the parts that start clicking in your brain, and you start coming up with an analysis, and you go, cha-ching, this is the answer. And that's the old way of doing things. That's the way natural man's always done it. But Jesus says there is a new way of living. A new way. A new and living way. And this is where it's real important that believers understand that you're not the old person anymore. You can't live by your five physical senses anymore. You cannot trust your head to make decisions anymore. You cannot trust your own consciousness. It's the new and living way. This is a new and living way of life. You have got to be a new creature to even live in this way of life. That's why you had to be born again, because you can't see the kingdom unless you're born again. The problem is, once people are born again, is they still roll back to their old way of doing things. They go back to their physical senses, the way they always figured everything out before. based on what they see, based on what they smell, based on what they taste, based on past experiences, based on past situations. Their whole decision-making process is based on another master, not the master God. Their decision processes are all based on past experiences, physical things, data, information. See, that old cloth, that old way of living, you can't put this new way of life into that old cloth. You've got to get rid of that old way of life. You can't serve two masters. You can't go by being led by the Spirit of God and try to do that living the old way too. You've got to decide, I'm going to cut it loose. I'm going to cut it loose. I'm not going to live by what I think. I'm not going to live by what I feel. I can't even know God by what I feel. How do you feel today? I don't ask myself how I feel. The Word of God tells me how I feel. I don't ask my body how it feels today. The Word of God tells my body that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. My body is in line with the Word of God. My thinking is in line with the Word of God. My feet walk according to the Word of God. Everything I do is a new way of life to me. I'm serving one master. I'm led by His Spirit. I can't put this new way of life into the old way because it'll mess it up. It'll ruin it. Do y'all see in this today? We are new creatures now in Christ Jesus. It's all about what are we in Him. What am I in Him now? I'm in Him. He will lead you into such wonderful things. He will lead your life into such wonderful, great, awesome things. But being led by Him is the key. Hear His voice. He says, if you hear my voice, hear my voice, hear my voice. I'll lead you into green pastures. Any man come to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all you labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You see, the voice of God will always lead you into rest. He'll always lead you into green pastures. He'll always lead you. He's a good shepherd. He doesn't lead you into lack. The devil's the one who leads you into lack. The Lord will lead you into plenty. And He's not afraid of waste either. He fed the 5,000. It was a big, hard thing for Him to feed 5,000 people. Supernaturally. And He's not concerned about leftovers. There was 12 baskets left full. And they say these baskets were pretty good-sized baskets. Leftovers. And they didn't have refrigeration, couldn't pack it up in Ziploc bags and freeze it. It was wasted. Maybe everybody got a backpack and took them home. Look at Revelation 21. This is Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, that's a sobering thought right there. Because, you know, the warning is to take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. And I've just shared my heart that what I really know is unbelief, how evil it is to God. God considers it evil. And it isn't going to heaven. It's going to have its part with those that are murderers and adulterers and liars and all those bad people. So it's a really bad thing to have unbelief in your life. It's a bad thing. It's listed right here in the bad stuff. And if you look at Galatians. Again, we're going to run to Galatians real quick, chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 18. This needs to be really a highlighted, a big star. There's a star by this verse here in my Bible. Put a star by this verse in your Bible. Galatians 5:18. Everybody there? Galatians 5:18 says, but if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you be led by your human spirit, if you're led by your human spirit, happens to be the real you. And that's a given that the Holy Spirit is the one who leads you through your human spirit. You see, we think the Holy Spirit's going to wrap a noose around our neck and just pull us and yank us. So that's the way the devil works. We're expecting God to act like the devil. And that, you know, we get these thoughts in our mind, oh, this must be God because I got this strong thought and I feel like I got a rope around my head and it's telling me do this and do this. That's not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't work through your head and your thinking and reasoning processes. It's your human spirit you have to learn to hear. It's the real you have to listen to. Your voice of your inner man, be God inside minded. It's through the Holy Spirit that he talks through your spirit to your spirit. The Holy Spirit communicates to your human spirit. And then it's up to you to hear your human spirit talk to your head. Does that make sense? You got to hear him. You got to have a heart. You have your heart will talk to you. And so your human spirit never, and when you're in line with God's word, and look what he says, if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. All the do's and don'ts don't control your life anymore. And you get so freed up. You're freed up from such condemnation. That's why it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a law of sin and death that controls the world. They're under that bondage. They can't get out of it. But when you accepted Christ, you got translated out of that kingdom into the kingdom of light. And now you've got a new creature. You're a new creature in Christ. And you're being led now by the Holy Spirit who works through your human spirit to lead you. And that human, your human spirit is not under the law anymore. Do y'all see this? I see it so clearly. But I think that honestly, we have to start praying. God, give me eyes of enlightenment. Let my eyes of understanding be enlightened. Let me see this with my spiritual eyes. Take the blinders off my spiritual eyes so I can really understand what you're saying. And then let's go back up to verse 16. But this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Well, there's a challenge. There's a big old time challenge. How do you walk in the Spirit? It's talking about the real you, your human spirit. This is where you're walking in your spirit. But I happen to be walking in my body, and my body is very in touch with physical things, and I have lusts of the flesh, and I have desires, and I have these things going on. It's all flesh. It's all your flesh. We're more chemicals than we are anything. We're just chemicals. We're so chemicalized. Our brains are always giving off some chemical. Either, you know, feel-good chemical, a lust chemical, I got to have this chemical. It's something being driven in the chemical realm of your physical body. But if you learn to live in the Spirit, you'll crucify those chemicals. That's why that was all so important, is that we have got to, through the Holy Spirit, our human spirit, put a finger on those bad thoughts and those bad desires and those things that pull us and drive us and push us through the flesh and say, I'm canceling you. I'm canceling you. Nope, not listening to you anymore. I feel it. I want it. No. The spirit of man raises up and says no to your flesh. Finally, stand how to be led by the Spirit of God. Raise up and say no. You can do this. Anybody can do this. That's why Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. That's how we're going to be the glorious church. When we learn how to do verse 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit. Talking about your human spirit. Walk in your human spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of your flesh. I've been working on this, meditating day in, day out. And he promised me that if I would do that, then I would find good, I would make my way prosperous, and I'd find good success because the Holy Spirit will never lead me to do anything wrong. Won't make me wrong. Bad investments, bad decisions, bad relationships, all kinds of stuff. See, God has nothing but good things for us, and we want to blame God when bad happens. And it isn't God at all. We just haven't learned how to listen to our spirit. So let's look on down here, verse 19. 19 of Galatians, we're still in Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now, when he says they're manifest, they're something you can actually see in people's lives. You can see people working these things because this works of the flesh. They're working adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lascivious, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. See, these are all things you work. These are all part of your works. Envyings, murderers. Boy, envyings is a bad one. Drunkenness, revelings, and such likes. Oh, the such like is the word I want to underline. Such like. That's an interesting phrase right there. such like, because, you know, he probably could have had two or three pages of listings. But the such likes are kind of put in there to help you say, anything even looks like this. There's the list. If it even smells like it, even remotely looks like it. Do you know when I feel jealousy for somebody or anything? Envy. I'm a little bit nervous, shaky, and jerky about that. I'm a little fearful there. There's those things you just learn to put to. Does that make sense? And you do that in your spirit. You do that with your spirit. You say no, because this, the outcome of these things is not a good outcome. Look what it says. Look what it says. They which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to heaven. That's what I'm doing everything for. I've got a reward. I want to take as many people as I can to heaven with me. Take as many people as I possibly can. First of all, I got to take me. I got to take me. This is the most important person to take to heaven is me. And if I can take anybody else with me, I want to. And I will. I absolutely will. I'm going to give you one last verse and I'm closing. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. See, the Lord spoke this to me. I had an experience with God. He showed up in my living room and he said these words to me personally. And he told me this years and years ago. And I never, and when I read it, it's as fresh as if he was right here saying the words to me right now. Because when God talks to you, it never, ever, ever diminishes its authority in your life. It's like he just said it. There's no time or distance. It's just as if he said it, it's an eternal word to me. He said this to me. He said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. In verse 16, here's the warning. Take heed unto yourself. Here's another take heed. I'm taking heed to this. Take heed. Remember the radar? Taking heed. Making the preparation. Take heed. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Continue in the word, basically. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. That's what he told me. Didn't know to be pastor in a church. But I tell you what, I'm glad I've taken heed to these things. So now I have something to share. I'm taking heed for myself first because I'm going to heaven and I'm going to save me. Everybody know you'll save your own hide first, right? But now I can save other people too. Isn't this good? Father, I seal this word today. I thank you for it. I praise you and give you blessings and honor and glory for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for this word today. In Jesus' name, amen.